Let's play a game. Would you like to play a game with me? Let's play the perception game. And to be honest with you, this is actually a game that most people are playing all day, every single day, except they're just not aware of it because most people don't have the faintest idea that how that they see things isn't how things actually are. Most people don't understand that perception isn't always reality. It's also important to note before we start playing this game that no two people will ever look at the same thing or the same statement or the same word or the same life event or circumstance or situation in the same way. We all see things differently. And this is why people being on the receiving end of a life coach can be such a powerful experience for them because, for the first time, sometimes in their life, they get to look at their own life from a perspective that they've never considered before. Are you with me? Let's play a game. I mean, what would happen if I was just to remove myself and step out of the way a little bit and. Oh my goodness, who wrote that profanity on the board? I mean, how could anyone say or write something like this, especially in the context of a course like this? I mean, this is a really professional course, isn't it? By the way, how could anyone in their right mind even say that, especially someone like me? But what happens if we add a little bit more context? All right, would that make it okay? Big fat pussycat. I love big fat pussycats. In fact, we've actually got two. We've got five cats in our home. We've got Skinny, we've got Smithers, we've got Ginger, we've got Tinkerbell, and we've got Blackie. Blackie likes to eat a lot, so she is a big fat pussycat. That's what Blackie is. But tell me, how do you feel about this in comparison to how you feel about that? I bet there's a bit of a contrast, isn't there? Are you aware? All right. If not, if so, you're probably becoming more aware now. So, how about if I was to present you with the word politician? How would you feel about politicians? When someone starts talking to you about politicians, how do you instinctively respond? Well, how you instinctively respond is going to be determined by how you see politicians. Do you generalize them all? Are they all good? Are they all bad? Or are just some of them good while some of them are bad? Do politicians who subscribe to a certain set of ideologies, are they okay whilst other ones aren't? How about those people who are pro that thing that you're totally against? I mean, wouldn't it just be true that if all people were more like us, we would like them a hell of a lot more, wouldn't we? Absolutely. How about if there was a politician in our country who was just exactly the same as us, who believed the same as us? They would probably be okay, wouldn't they? Especially in comparison to those politicians who are different from us. But it's just a word, isn't it? How do we perceive these words? How about cross-dresser? My friend, have you ever engaged in a little bit of cross-dressing? You know, come on, Tuesday nights, Friday afternoons, every little bit of time you've, every occasion you've got a little bit of spare time in your hands. If you're not into this kind of stuff, how do you feel about those who are? I mean, it's just a preference after all, isn't it? Is this okay? Is that not okay? How do you perceive this word, cross-dresser? Because it's just a word or it's a couple of words, and how we perceive things isn't always how things are. I mean, how do you know whether cross-dressers are good people or bad people? Are they good people or are they bad people? And who determines? Who are you to judge? My friend, let's play this game. Michael Jackson. Have you seen that thing on Netflix? You know that documentary series with those two guys? Have you seen it? I mean, have you heard some of the things that those guys have said? How about some of the stories that have been written? Do you believe this stuff? How do you perceive this man? Do you respect the man as a musician, as a singer, as a major contributor to the world of music and arts? The guy's certainly achieved some things with his life, but now he's dead. How do you perceive him? How will you remember him? And if so, you know, however response, whatever response you're having right now, how did you arrive at this decision? All right, how do you perceive the guy and who's influenced your perception of the guy? How do you know that your perception is true? Interesting questions, aren't they? How about Muslim? All right, do you have any Muslims in your town? Are you okay with them? Are you a Muslim? You know, if all people in the world were Muslim, would this be okay? Or if all people in the world define themselves as Muslim, would that not be okay? And who determines what's okay and what's not okay? Is there a book somewhere that determines what's okay and what's not okay? Or is it just you and I that determine what we like and what we don't like based upon our personal preferences and our perception, i.e. the way in which we see things? How do we know that the way in which we see things is accurate and true? How do we know that our perception is a healthy one? How about if I was to say the word rapist? What emotional reaction or response are you having to this word? Because it's just a word. It's just six letters. But I guess what this word means to you is going to be a lot more than just a six-letter word. Do you have any experience of this in the past? Do you know someone who's been on the receiving end of something like this in the past? If so, it's most likely triggering something in you. Not because this word actually means anything, but yet it also means everything to you if you've had some experience of this. As human beings, we're meaning-making machines. We're assigning meaning onto all things all the time, whether we're aware of this or whether we're not. That, my friend, is true. How do you perceive these words? How about life coach? Because you've taken a life coaching certificate course right now, and once this course is finished, you're going to be a certified life coach. Now, as you're taking this course, you're most likely all right with this term. But you know, in the past, over the last decade, people have said to me, Kane, what do you do? And I say, yeah, I'm a coach. I coach people to be more effective in life. And they'll say to me, huh, so you're one of these life coaches? And I say, yeah, I am. What does that mean? Knowing fine well that being a life coach for me means something very, very different than what being a life coach means for other people who don't like this term. All right, it's our experiences that forge and give us these perceptions that we have about things, about titles, about roles, ranks, and our experiences. And I didn't even say anything there, did I? How'd you feel about that? How would you feel if someone closed every conversation they have with you by saying that instead of a simple goodbye? Who is it that determines whether goodbye is better or worse than that? Well, it's not me. It is, in fact, only you, isn't it? It's how you perceive these words. Fuck off, like they say in Northern Ireland. All right, is this good? Is this bad? I guess it's going to be determined only by you and how you perceive these words. Right, I know people in my family who have completely cut all ties because of some people saying profanities. All right, seriously. How about a rich person? All right, how do you feel about rich people? All right, and what does being rich actually even mean for you? Do you like rich people? Are you, in fact, a rich person yourself? Isn't it true that most people in life compare themselves to those that have more than us rather than less? It's kind of like no one ever sees themselves as being a rich person in life, do they? Why? Because we look at those people with more than us as being the rich ones. We very, very rarely compare ourselves to those that have less than us, because if we ever done that, then most of us would be a hell of a lot more grateful for what we have than what we are. All right, is this true? How about then a poor person? How do you perceive poor people? Right, when you look at someone and you make a judgment call whether a person's rich or whether a person's poor, what factors are you using to determine who is what? Rich or poor? Is rich good? Is poor bad? Is poor good? Is rich bad? And who determines? Is it me? Is it you? Is it someone else? Is there a person out there determining what things and words mean? Or are we all just doing this as we go? Are we all just responding more to our perception than anything else? How about assumptuous people? How do you feel about assumptuous people? You know, people who just make assumptions about things? Do you know these people who arrive at conclusions, make assumptions about people, whether they're good or bad? And you know those people that make assumptions about what other people's intentions are before ever taking the time to actually find out, you know, asking good questions, things like that, labeling good or bad on people, or right or wrong? Again, wouldn't it just be good if all people in the world were just like us? Because then we'd like everyone, wouldn't we? There would be no war if everyone in the world was like us, apart from the times when we're being assumptuous. But it's other people that are assumptuous, isn't it? It's very rarely us. Of course, goes without saying. How about imperfect people? How do you feel about imperfect people? Because more often than not, it's very, very easy to label people as being good and bad and right and wrong or rich or poor or this or that or educated or uneducated or or mature or immature and all these sorts of things. But I'm guessing, you know, how we perceive imperfect people, well, kind of this word here, imperfect, can give us a label that we could assign onto the entire human race, including us, unless, of course, you're perfect. And even if you do think yourself as or see yourself as being perfect, when did you decide that was the case? Did someone tell you? Or is this just how you see things? All right, are you imperfect? And if so, what assumptions could you possibly be justified in making about other imperfect people? Are there some people in the world who are more imperfect than you? Are the people in the world who are less imperfect than you? Or are we all just a breed of imperfect people? And if so, is this okay? Do you determine whether this is okay or is it someone else? Right? What point does your perception start distorting your reality? Me. We're fast approaching the end of this first section of the course now. All right? Do I speak too fast? Do I slur my words? Am I, you know, just, do I look like a thug because I have a shaved head? Am I good enough? Am I a good enough teacher for you? Am I not good enough? Am I an imperfect communicator? And because of my imperfect communications, is this a bad thing? Are you better than me? Are you worse than me? Am I richer than you? Poorer than you? How do you perceive me? And most importantly, how do you perceive you? How do you see you? And how do you know that the way that you see you is actually true? Who are you comparing yourself up against? Because this is something that we all do, isn't it? We have this habit as human beings of comparing ourselves to other people. We, 9 times out of 10, prefer to compare ourselves to those we perceive as being lesser than us, not as good as us, because it often makes us feel better about ourselves. But I'm going to suggest that this can really lead us into a false sense of security. And we'll find this in many of our clients. When we ask a client to define themselves, you know, who are you? It's a bit of a tough question to answer, isn't it? I mean, how if I was to ask you right now? If I was to ask you, you know, this question, who are you, then you were to respond without giving any reference to any labels that you've ever assigned onto yourself, without giving any reference to anything that you've ever done, any of your past accomplishments, your relationship status, your sexual orientation, the way in which you feel, your past successes, your past failures, who are you? What would you say? What is the truth of the matter? Or are you building your identity upon a whole bunch of words, ideas, perception? Because I'm guessing that truth is really the only foundation that's going to be strong enough to sustain us in life. Now, what's true for us is certainly going to be true for our clients. Now, I don't know how you have responded to any of these words that I put up on the board. And if you did find yourself having an emotional reaction to anything that has just been presented to you, it's not my fault, it's not the board's fault, it's not this video's fault, all right? You are responsible for your emotional reactions and responses towards things in life. Why? Because your emotions live inside of you in the same way that my emotions live inside of me. And it's only really once we start developing this level of self-awareness that we can start actually influencing and controlling ourselves. I would like to boldly state that self-control is the ultimate expression of maturity in life, where things can happen to us, people can say things, do things, the world can fall apart. The question is how easily are we moved? All right, because if we are like blown around like a leaf in the wind, up and down like a yo-yo emotionally when people say and do things, then I'm going to suggest that we're not really living a life on a particularly strong set of foundations. When we become grounded in the truth of who we are, which is what I'm going to be hopefully giving you some insights into establishing later on in the course, then we become a little bit unshakable in our very essence. So here's the thing. What we're talking about here is the difference between our perception and what is true. As life coaches, our role is to lead our clients into greater depths of insight into what's actually true for them. Knowing, not just assuming, but knowing that the problems that people have, the issues that people have, the fears that people have is just their response to the perception that they have of people, of situations, of life in general, and of things. How we see things, my friend, is just how we see things. It isn't ever necessarily how things actually are. Words are just words and mean absolutely nothing until we assign meaning onto them. You with me? Interesting. It's a fascinating little exercise, isn't it? So we're fast approaching the end of section one. In the next video, I'm just going to summarize, wrap the course up, and introduce you to what we're going to be covering in section two of the course.